Hello, loyal listeners, and welcome back to the Friends on 15th podcast, coming to you from the Friends Center, located at 15th and Cherry Streets, downtown Philadelphia. I am your host, Jennifer Lee, and of course, I am in the company of your favorite co-host today, Shakira Shakira.
Good morning. I knew she was about to say that.
What?
Shakira.
I feel like I have to say it twice. I don't know. She is our events coordinator and admin manager.
Good morning, everyone.
And the executive director of the Friends Center, Chris Moore.
Good morning, Jennifer.
Hi. Not less, but more.
Thank you so much.
And I always have to say that because I know how much he loves that joke. Today is Friday the 13th.
Scary. Ooh. Oh, that's why they was playing all the scary movies last night.
Oh, probably.
I was just talking about how I was watching Gremlins at like 11:30 at night.
But not October. It is December.
Yay.
December. Friday the 13th. And just a couple weeks away from the new year. 2020 is coming, guys.
Wow, hard to believe.
I know. The end of the year is like, oh, it's like such a big thing. We feel like it's a big thing. Is it just me?
No, I feel like it's definitely a big thing. Yeah, I'm excited like for the new
change,
year.
Change, a new start, you know.
Right. Moving into a new year for our podcast, which was born this year, 2019.
I know. Oh, that's so exciting. I didn't think about that. That's exciting.
It's been a big year.
It has been. Christmas Village is now up and running.
Have you been? Park in Dilworth Park?
Yes, I have been. I've gone and done some window shopping so far, but they always have so many cute things. And
what about you, Chris?
Just stuff.
Yeah, I got some lunch there at the Bratwurst tent the other day.
Nice. Was it good?
It was pretty good, yeah.
That's nice. Yeah, so make sure you guys stop by, take a family trip, go do some shopping and support. And like Chris said, don't forget about Dilworth Park. They are open for ice skating, and they have a really pretty carousel out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're doing all kinds of stuff now. And the light show at night.
And I actually heard one of the ladies who works in the buildings talking about how this Saturday she's going to take her family out to the three light shows down here. And Dilworth Park, Macy's, and what is the other one?
Is there one at Franklin Square?
Possibly.
It's further away.
Yeah. But the three light shows and do some shopping. So I'm excited. This is seriously, even though I don't celebrate Christmas, this is my favorite time of the year. I love seeing the decorations and the lights and the smiling people and happy children. And it just warms my heart.
Family and friends.
Family and friends and good food. Mm-hmm. Really good food. Just a word to the city. We encourage you to go out, have fun, enjoy yourself, spend family time, but please be safe. Please be safe. You know, unfortunately, there are predators and, you know, people, there's like this crazy thing that's been going around. People are like going under people's cars and still stealing
like motors,
the Cadillac converter.
Converters.
I was like,
Is that like a Philly thing or is it like...
I have no idea.
Please let us know if you are listening from somewhere else. Is it just us in Philly experiencing people stealing Cadillac converters?
Catalytic
converters.
And our email is info@friendcentercorp.org.
Yeah, we want to know. Is that happening everywhere?
Yeah, so when they say when you park back into the space so you can pull right out, park in a well-lit area, don't leave your shopping bags in your car.
That is crazy.
Yeah, so make sure you guys are following all the safety tips so that you and your families are safe.
So today we are bringing on our first Quaker organization. Yay!
Yay!
So Chris, before we, you know, bring our FWCC in, do you want to just talk a little bit about Quakerism or anything you want to
Yeah, so it's significant for us as the Friends Center. So we're a center for the Religious Society of Friends, which are also known as the Quakers. And that name came from England in the 1600s when one of the early founders of Quakerism, George Fox, was in court because it wasn't legal to do Quaker worship at the time, and George Fox said to the judge, "You should tremble in fear before the Lord," and the judge scoffed at him about quaking and what are you, a Quaker, and they actually took that name and kept it as the unofficial name for the Religious Society of Friends.
Wow. I like the backstory.
Right,
what are you, a Quaker? Well, I guess I am.
In fact,
I am a Quaker.
So, yeah, we have about 9 Quaker organizations at Friends Center, as well as another 31 non-Quaker groups here that have offices. And so we're open to all, but always happy to have Quakers among us.
Nice. Okay, so without further ado, we would like to introduce to you the Executive Secretary of the Friends World Committee for Consultation Sections of the Americas, and her name is Ms. Robin Moore.
Good morning.
Good morning, and welcome to the Friends Robin. On 15th podcast.
Thank you. Good to have you here today.
It's wonderful to be here with you. Good. I'm honored to be your first Quaker guest.
Yeah. How are you feeling today?
I'm doing all right.
That's good. Wonderful. So, your position as the executive secretary, what does that consist of?
So, I am the head staff person for the organization. We are part of the denominational infrastructure of the Religious Society of Friends, also known as the Friends Church. And we are a small staff, but my role includes being the head administrator. I have some responsibility for pastoral care of other Quaker leaders, and we organize events. And
so it says for the sections of Americas. So what does that cover?
So that Americas includes North America, Central America, South America, and the Caribbean.
Oh.
So the Friends World Committee is the association of Quaker yearly meetings. Really, all the Quaker meetings and churches around the world and across all the branches of Friends. And our office here in Philadelphia primarily works with the Americas. So that's the Quaquer meetings from Alaska to Bolivia.
Wow.
From A to B.
So can you tell us a little bit more about FWCC, your mission? What do you guys do?
Our official mission says that answering God's call to universal love, FWCC brings friends together from varying traditions and cultural experiences together in worship, communications, and consultation to express our common heritage and our Quaker message to the world.
Wow. I think that's important because as I was reading more about FWCC, I saw that at one point in time, there were Quakers all over, but you guys didn't have a way to connect. You guys weren't connected with one another or communicating. So, it's nice to know, to have that camaraderie, yeah. To know that, I'm not the only one here, maybe in, North America or South America. We have people on the other side of the world, who are sharing the same sentiment as I and, same beliefs. So I think that's pretty cool.
It is. Many Quakers, especially in the United States, worship in small groups. Mm-hmm. And so it's important to know that we are actually, even here in our small meeting, part of a worldwide family of friends. Yeah. So you have heard Quakers started meeting together in England, and they very quickly spread all around the world. Then in the 1800s, there were a series of splits, particularly in the United States, some around theology, but also that involves politics and personalities. And, there are a lot of reasons that organizations go through conflict. And then about 75 years later, there was a time where the friends started to say, well, why are we not talking to those other Quakers? What do we have in common? Oh, if we actually worked together, there would be more of us to do the work that God has called us to do in the world. Mm-hmm. And so in 1937, there was a World Conference of Friends held here in Pennsylvania, mostly at Swarthmore and Haverford Colleges, hosted this conference for Quakers from all over the world came together. And one of the important things that came out of that conference was a decision that there needed to be a standing body, a committee. Quakers are big on committees in a lot of places. To keep that communication flowing more smoothly in times of world war, in times of economic depression. That those were not just in the United States. That was really all over the world. People were affected by that. And so the Friends World Committee for Consultation was set up to keep friends in communication across those divisions that had arisen, but also across the oceans.
So would you say that those Quakers, are those the programmed and unprogrammed Quakers? Is that the division?
That is part of it. Okay. So now there are Quakers worship in different forms. When we say programmed or unprogrammed worship, depends on whether the order of service is planned. And some Quakers worship in ways that look very similar to other Protestant churches. They could have a sermon, they could have a pastor, they would have Bible reading, they would have singing. Other Quakers meet in beginning in silence and listening to the direction of the Holy Spirit. And you might not know what's going to happen in that worship service. One of the other things that I think is important that is that any Quaker meeting, any Friends Church gathering is paying attention to what is the leading of the Holy Spirit now. Mm-hmm. And I know Quaker pastors who have prepared a sermon and who then in that moment realize God is asking something different of me right now. Mm-hmm. And we're going to set aside all of the plans that I made because this is what God is asking of us right here, right now.
That's
I think
nice.
It's important that freedom to not be... to be able to follow, to be able to hear what God is saying to us and to act on that.
So when you talk about programmed or unprogrammed Quakers, so is does that go by individual persons or a meeting in its entirety?
So there, that would be a meeting's decision about how they're going to worship. And
okay.
Any local congregation, and it could be called a monthly meeting, mm-hmm. or it could be called a Friends Church, will have their regular form of worship. Some of those will have some of both. You know, they'll have program worship at 9 and 11 and unprogrammed worship at 10. I mean, that's a possibility. But most of them have chosen one or the other.
Have you experienced both?
Oh, yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have a preference, either of you?
So the monthly meetings that I have belonged to have been unprogrammed meetings. But I find that having a regular practice of the meeting that I belong to is an unprogrammed meeting. But in my observation, and I work with friends across all the spectrum of friends, mm-hmm. is that the actual decision whether it's going to be programmed or unprogrammed worship is a matter of taste, a matter of tradition, that every Quaker congregation needs some shared time of listening to God and some time of shared teaching. And some of us do the shared listening to God in the big group on Sunday mornings, and we might have the shared teaching as a second hour program or a Wednesday night a study group.
Like Bible study.
It could be a Bible study, right. Could be a reading group.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us do that shared teaching in the big group on Sunday morning and then might have Wednesday night prayer group. Or a midweek time for unprogrammed listening to God. And it doesn't, the proportion, which one it is, doesn't matter to me very much, but I think every Quaker congregation needs some of both to keep the Holy Spirit flowing freely.
You mentioned this term meeting or monthly meeting. Can you say more about what does that mean exactly?
So early on, Quakers were gathering in very small groups of local groups of people gathering to wait upon the Lord. And we're talking here England in the 1650s. And the need for some organization, some planning, and some coordination, George Fox is credited with recommending that they meet monthly to do the business of the congregation. Mm-hmm. And then larger groups of local congregations would meet every few months or quarterly during the year. And then a larger group, like all of England, would meet annually, and that would be their yearly meeting. So the local congregation started out being called the monthly meeting, which would meet weekly for worship or more often, but we retain that. Some places, they have decided that it's actually more descriptive and easier for other people to understand to call it the Friends Church, and then they can meet when they meet.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting because I'd never, recently I learned that, you can say church because for a while I was like, no. Like, I always thought it was just, like, the meeting. And like even with regards to our meeting house, and you know, people would say, oh yeah, it's that church. And I'm like, I don't think it's a church. It's like a meeting house. And I think like people are real particular in, you know, saying that it's not a church and it's an actual meeting house.
And some people still believe that that's an important distinction. Mm-hmm. For the early Quakers, it was important to distinguish between the steeple house, where the official state church met, and the place where they met, which could be anywhere, and to be clear that it wasn't about the building, was not what was sacred. They were very plain in their speech, and to call it the meeting house was a descriptive term and not a distinction, that the church is the people who meet in it. And some Quakers are really strict about, we only call ourselves a meeting, and others are really strict about, we only call it ourselves a church. Okay. And I work with both kinds.
All right. I recently was talking to one of your colleagues, and they mentioned a trip to Mexico. Do you want to tell us more about that trip?
So actually, that was a committee meeting that happened in Monterrey in northern Mexico. So the section of the Americas involves representatives of each of those regional gatherings of Quakers, which we call yearly meetings, names their representatives, who are the members of the committee, the Friends World Committee. But then we have smaller committees that are set up to do work for to organize events, to plan the programs. So in Monterrey, what we had was actually a joint meeting of two committees. One is our nominating committee. That's the group that helps to discern who will be on the other committees for the next year. And our representative engagement program group, which is charged with the orienting new representatives, helping friends to be more engaged and more involved in the Friends World Committee. Mm-hmm. And so because those two pieces of work are connected in a lot of ways, they meet together every year. It's once a year that committee meets in person, and the rest of the year they meet by conference call, by video conference. It's a combination of trying to be frugal about our time and money and the travel impact on the world. So the meeting in Monterrey was probably 20 Quakers from Peru, from Mexico, from El Salvador, from Guatemala, from the United States, coming together to do the work of their committee, to do some orientation of new members, and to worship together, to eat together, to build the community of the group that then will continue to meet by conference call the rest of the year.
Wow.
And do you have your meetings in English or Spanish or what?
All of our committees work bilingually because there are friends who speak English, friends who speak only Spanish. There are a number of people, including myself, who can speak both languages. But one of our commitments is to make the language not a barrier to participation. So we work with train interpreters to participate in our meetings so that everyone can participate. And so that's an important part of our work. It also is training all of us in our process to listen more carefully, to be able to wait while the interpretation is happening, to think about what we're going to say before we say it so that it's easier to understand in any language. That's a useful skill. But that practice of listening to the same idea or the same message in both languages is also building our ability to listen for the Holy Spirit in whichever language.
Nice. I can appreciate that. I am a lover of languages. So I endeavor to learn a new language, but I really get the feeling that you are, that you're very passionate about what you do. And not only because, you know, you enjoy your work, but I feel like the foundation is because you are a Quaker and that helps you connect to your work a little bit better. So I want to ask you a few questions about that, but we're going to stop here. We're going to take a quick break and we'll come back. I want to find out how long you've been with FWCC and how your Quaker walk has impacted your work.
Sure.
Speaking of listening, you're listening to Friends on 15th, the podcast coming to you from the Friends Center at 15th and Cherry Streets in Center City, Philadelphia. Friends Center is the Quaker hub for peace and justice in Philadelphia. We're home to more than 40 Quaker and non-Quaker nonprofit tenants like the Friends World Committee for Consultation section of the Americas. We also have conference and event space for your next meeting, and there's always a nonprofit discount. You're also welcome to join Central Philadelphia monthly meeting for their Quaker worship in the unprogrammed version every Sunday here at 11 a.m.
Thank you for that message, and we want to welcome you all back to our interview with Robin Moore, who is the Executive Secretary for Friends World Committee for Consultation Section of the Americas. Before we went to break, I told you I was going to ask you about how long you've been with FWCC and how you feel like your Quaker walk has impacted your work.
So I have been employed by the Friends World Committee since 2011, mm-hmm. So coming up on 9 years. Before that, I lived in San Francisco, California, and I was a member of San Francisco Monthly Meeting and Pacific Yearly Meeting, and I was a volunteer representative of my yearly meeting to the Friends World Committee. And that's really how I got involved in the organization. Before that, the reason I was actually involved in the organization was that a few years before that, so around 2005, I started reading blogs that were written by Quakers from across the Quaker spectrum. So evangelical friends from Oregon and unprogrammed friends from New Jersey and Minnesota and Florida, and discovered that I had been worshiping in my own kind of Quakers, in my own monthly meeting for years, but I had never really explored the breadth of Quaker thought, of Quaker practice. And by discovering first online that there were these other Quakers and that they had interesting stories and they were interested in the same questions about what does it mean to live an authentic Quaker life in the 21st century, that those were questions we had in common, even if we were coming from different perspectives or different backgrounds, to be able to look into that.
Were you raised practicing Quakerism?
No. I became a Quaker about the time I graduated from college, so it's been about 25 years, a little more than that, 28 years now.
I wanted to talk a little bit about Quakers and sustainability. Could you tell us like a little bit more about that? Like, what are your views on like the economic justice part of sustainability in Quakerism?
So Quakers around the world have been concerned about the changes in our environment and how that affects the human beings. I think some of the most committed advocates for environmental work come from the Philippines and from Australia, where they're seeing the effects of our climate changing. Mm-hmm. Friends in Bolivia report that the melting of glaciers is changing water availability in the cities. So they're seeing those effects very closely. In 2012, there was a world conference of Quakers in Kenya. And one of the outcomes of that conference was what we call the Kabarak Call for Peace and Eco-Justice. And it was a recognition that we are around the world, and regardless of our politics or our theology, we can all see that the earth is important to human beings, and that human beings have a responsibility to care for the earth.
Absolutely.
And for each other.
Yes.
So since then, we have been working in each yearly meeting in its own way, in monthly meetings, in local friends, looking at what are we doing to make a difference and to care for the people around us and around the world. In 2016, the World Plenary Meeting of Friends was held in Pisac, Peru, which is near Cusco. And there was an update. We're reporting back from friends around the world on what they had done since the 2012 Kabarak Call, and a commitment to ask, to challenge each other to do more. What are we doing to make a difference in the world? At our section meeting this year, so that was representatives from the yearly meetings in the Americas, met together just outside Kansas City in Missouri in March, and we had workshops with friends, evangelical friends, liberal on program friends, talking about why they care and what friends can do, and sharing the ideas and the support, the spiritual support, and the practical suggestions of what they should be doing around eco-justice. Mm.
So, not that long ago, Friends World Quaker Day was celebrated. How do you guys connect?
So, World Quaker Day is always on the first Sunday in October, and its real point is to remember that we are part of that world family of friends. Some meetings celebrate it by hearing stories of their members who have worshipped in different places. Sometimes they learn more about those other Quakers across the different theological branches or in other countries. It's not an old tradition. This was the sixth annual World Quaker Day in 2019.
Okay.
So, but it's an opportunity for friends in El Salvador have really been excited about World Quaker Day to remember that they are a small country, they're mostly small Quaker churches, but they are part of that world family of friends, and they have taken that time to learn more about their Quaker history and to share stories about what Quakers have accomplished in the world.
Pop quiz.
Yes, ma'am.
Which country has the most Quakers?
There are more Quakers in Kenya than in any other country on earth.
Ding, ding, wow. Ding, ding, ding. She got it right, y'all.
So number two is the United States.
Really?
And number three is Burundi.
Burundi. Where's that?
Burundi is in southern Africa.
Okay.
Between Kenya and South Africa. Central Africa, you might say. But number four is probably Bolivia.
Nice.
And number five would be Guatemala.
And are there resources to be able to find friends around the world?
Yes. The Friends World Committee produces a map that we call it the statistical map that has, you can see that which countries there are Quaker meetings. You can see which countries have Quaker meetings, and it has a list of how many Quakers are in each country. Again, every yearly meeting counts their membership slightly differently, and we take the statistics that they send us. So, and they change. From the minute you've produced the map by today, it's things have changed in every place. So I encourage friends to take that lightly, but the sense that there are more Quakers in Kenya than anywhere else on Earth is clear from that map.
Wow.
And do you have resources or directories to find friends?
Each section of the Friends World Committee, so I work with the section of the Americas, but there is also an Asia-West Pacific section, an Africa section, and a Europe and Middle East section. And then we have an office in London that is our world office that helps to coordinate work between sections. That each one of those sections has a website, and on each website you can find information about the meetings in their area. For ours, you can go to fwccdirectory.org. Is the directly to go to find where there are Quakers in the Americas. Our general website is fwccamericas.org.
Great. So do you guys, are you constantly accepting volunteers, people who want to be a part of the Quaker movement and help it to grow?
Yes. The first step is we would really encourage people to find the local Quaker meeting where you are, and to find the real-life Quakers to worship with, to talk to. Our office here in Philadelphia is very small. It's not the most exciting part of Quakerism to come and watch us doing our work in the office, but the local Quaker meetings are the place where that really has life and energy. But, for example, in February, there's going to be a worldwide online consultation about sustainability that will be open to people to register from all over the world. It will happen in three sessions over 24 hours so that people who are in different parts of the world can participate at a time that is convenient for them. One of the sessions will have interpretation in French, and one of the sessions will have interpretation in Spanish, but it will otherwise take place in English because that is the most common language that people share across all the countries where Quakers are working or living. And that will be an opportunity to hear speakers from around the world, from the Philippines, from the U.S., from Europe, from Africa, to talk about some aspect of sustainability, and then an opportunity for sharing between the participants in the conference. And if you go to our website, fwccamericas.org, and click on events, you can find the registration link for that consultation. And that is something that people can volunteer. It's free to register and to participate. And it's an experiment for us to do that kind of a conference that doesn't involve traveling 1,000 people to one location, but how many people can participate at the time that is convenient for them, looking at taking advantage of the new technology that's available today. Mm-hmm. And we're looking at new ways of bringing people together that will be effective and profound, but we're trying something new. So I invite friends to participate.
Yeah. So I had one more question, I guess, before. I know we had you here for a while. But I just wanted to know, I know you traveled to many countries. What country has impacted you the most?
That is a really hard question.
Okay.
The country that has impacted me the most. So I think I'm going to talk about my first international travel on behalf of Quakers. When I was new in this job, I attended the 50th anniversary celebration of the Quaker Yearly Meeting in Peru. And their formal name is La Iglesia Nacional Evangélica de los Amigos de Peru. And in a small town in the southeastern part of the country, there were friends who had come from North America, from South America, to worship together, to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the first Quakers who came to Bolivia, or came to Peru from Bolivia, which included Quaker missionaries from Oregon who had been living in Bolivia, and Bolivian friends who came across the border into Peru. And the first Quaker worship took place in a field next to some rocks by Lake Titicaca and under a tent. That was a holy place.
Yeah.
And that experience of having a meeting for worship out in that same place, mm-hmm, 50 years later, was a great gift to me to be present, to be a witness, and to tell that story again to other friends, to know that the Religious Society of Friends is still growing, is still reaching people's hearts, and still has a purpose in our world.
Nice. So not a holy place based on the environment and the rocks and the tent and the grass. And I mean, even though that your senses add to your experience, but it's the gathering of the people and the intentions. Mm-hmm. Wow, I can appreciate that.
Me too.
I like that.
Yeah, that was good.
Well, thank you. It was a rare opportunity. And because I travel a lot among different friends, one of my jobs is a little bit like being the honeybee in the orchard who carries the pollen from one plant to the next, mm-hmm, is to share those stories, what friends are worried about in one place, what they're excited about in another place, and to be able to share those stories with friends in the other parts of our Quaker community. That is one of the joys of my work.
Great analogy.
Nice, right. She might have to put that in her signature. The honeybee. Robin honeybee.
She's the Quaker honeybee. I like that. All right. My last question, donations. How can people, do you accept donations?
We do accept donations.
How can people donate to FWCC?
So you can go to our website, fwccamericas.org/donate. There's an orange donate button on the webpage. And make a donation with a credit card or a bank account. You can send a check. You can call us on the phone. And our phone number is 215-241-7250, and we are happy to information over the phone. You can make a donation of stock. You can put us in your will. You can write the Friends World Committee to be a beneficiary of your retirement accounts. There are many ways to contribute.
So thank you, Robin. It was a pleasure having you here today. We enjoyed your lessons on Quakerism. We enjoyed you talking about your organization and the great things that you guys do around the world. So thanks again for coming. We enjoyed your company.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to talk about the Friends World Committee, and I hope that your listeners are happy to know that there are still friends in the Friends Center.
Yes.
Thank you. So you've been listening to Friends on 15 podcast from Friends Center, the Quaker Center for Peace and Justice in Philadelphia. Check us out on www.friendscentercorp.org or call us at 215-241-7100. If you like to hold your event or meetings or conferences here, just give us a call. Let us know. Come in. We'll love to show you around and we'll love to help you further. So thanks again, Robin. Thanks, Jen and Chris. I think this was a great interview. And before we go, I do have a quote, and it's actually a quote, a Quaker quote of the week. And it's from Faith in Practice, Yearly Meeting in Britain, Advices and Queries. If pressure is brought upon you to lower your standard of integrity, are you prepared to resist it? Our responsibilities to God and our neighbor may involve us taking unpopular stands. Do not let the desire to be sociable or the fear of seeming peculiar determine your decisions. So I think that was a great quote.
That's a great one. It was.
So just listen to that again if y'all need to. And just take heed to it. So y'all have a good day. Enjoy your Friday. Enjoy your weekend and your holidays. And we look forward to hearing from you guys. Later.
Thanks. Bye now. Bye.